keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yeah, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here.
You are here. You're touching it. See it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when it's your work, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop.
I guarantee you, he's worthy of it.
It's time to sing your song again.
death could not hold you, veil torn before you, silence the boast of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal.
You to join me in prayer this morning. You can do that by being seated if you want. You're welcome to come to the altar. Oh, what a powerful name it is to call upon the name of Jesus, and that we can call that same name Father. God, thank you for the wonderful and beautiful Savior that you are. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you long to hear from us. God, as we come before you in prayer this morning, we think about the songs that we just sang. God, I pray that we would, in fact, go wherever you lead us and wherever you want us, because we trust that your ways are higher than ours, and a lot of times, that's scary. And God, I think about this new school year and how we live in a very transient community with military who are here for a season and students who are here for a season, and God, that's a beautiful thing that we get to pour into those people, that we get to love on them while they're here, and that you're then going to call them somewhere else, and they're going to go, and they can be your light to others. God, I pray especially for missionaries this morning, those who have answered that call to go from here. I think of Caitlin Black in Mongolia. We just lift up her school year as she begins, again, teaching English and working with students there, and all the while sharing the love of Christ with them. And she was here over the summer. She shared that last semester was hard. God, would you just lift her up? Would you give her strength from you and you only? And God, I think of other missionaries. We could lift up Rick and Christina, who are back in the United States to have a baby. And that's so exciting. And God, would you be with them for the remainder of this pregnancy, that they can get rest in the few weeks that remain, and that they can lean into you as this last season of just the two of them. And then we just pray for a healthy baby, and that all things go well, and that you're preparing them for that transition back into the mission field, and what it looks like now with a little one in tow. And we're just thankful. There's others, George and Sherry, who were just here over the summer, who are back in Ecuador doing what you've called them to do. And we're just thankful that this is a church that will go. God, the other things that we worshiped this morning, thank you for the time after time after time that you give us to taste and see of your goodness. For the countless times you remind us that you and you alone are good. God, thank you that you're a waymaker, you're a miracle worker, and most of all, God, that you are a promise keeper who does not fail. Regardless of whether we can see it, regardless of whether we can feel it, God, you are our rock and our firm foundation, and we can stand in that. Prepare our hearts this morning, God, for the message from Brian for this new sermon series. There's parts of it that are hard. God, and prepare those around us that we need to invite, that need to come, that need to hear what church should be, especially if church is what has hurt them in the past. God, help us to give us the ears to hear and the hearts to go forth changed from that message this morning. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Westview Community Church. We're glad you are all here. And to our guests, this is that season where everybody's moving back and forth and coming to Manhattan. If you're a guest with us today and this is your first, second, third time you've been here, we're glad you're here. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor, and we are getting ready to launch into a new sermon series. A couple of things for our guests is that you got a worship guide. It looks like this when you walk through the door. These sermon notes, as we jump into the sermon a little bit, are going to appear overhead. You can fill in the blanks and go along. But also to our guests, if you'd fill out this connect card before you leave. You can drop it in the offering plate when it comes around, or you can go out to our welcome center at the end of the service. But it's important that you leave one piece of information, your name, and a second piece, a phone number or an email address, because we want to reach out to you because we assume you're looking for a church home. And if you are, we'd love to connect with you and see if there's any questions we can answer for you about the church and what's going on, what God's doing through here. So I want everybody to feel welcome. So would you get up? And would you make sure, love on somebody, go greet, make sure everybody feels welcome here, and then we'll get started. Go on, love on everybody, get moving. All right. Thank you, everybody. Grab a seat. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about one of the most misunderstood things about Christianity. At least always in the top three, I would say, and that is the church. The church. The Christian church is a community. It is one of the longest standing institutions in the history of the world. It is one of the most controversial, and it is also one of the most world-changing communities that has ever existed. Well, we're going to talk about what church is and what it isn't. Our goals in this sermon series, there's two big ones. One is understand God's design of church, not ours. You know, I always say people talk about the church. I said, you know, the church is the perfect bride of Christ. It is a perfect place until what? You put people in it. And then it can be messy. But when we understand what church is by God's design and not ours, you'll find out it's beautiful of what he's put together. The second thing is we're boldly going to learn how to share and invite people into the community of church for this one simple reason. God's church is his number one plan. It is his plan A for the reconciliation and the hope of the world. So if church is God's number one plan for the hope and reconciliation of the world, then why? Why has the church, and I'm specifically speaking about here in America, why has the church been in decline since the 80s? Even with all these mega churches that we have and everything, we're still as not an extra Christian today than it was 30 years ago. There is a lot less. Why do only 4 out of 10 people are active in church in America? Why, looking at this group, why will 64% of our youth, when they graduate in 2020, 2021, 22, why will 64% of you leave and walk away from the church? And why do Christians who call themselves Christians, why is you put us all together, all the churches in America, why does normal attendance on Sunday only one day out of every seven Sundays? If it is God's plan for the hope of the world, why do those things exist? So we want to answer the question, why is church becoming less important to people who are Christian, and why is it becoming pretty much a non-factor to people who aren't believers? Here is one true story that helps us see a major reason why there is a shift away from the church community. This is a blog that ended up in the Washington Post a few years ago, and let me give you the title of it. The title is, Why I Let My 9-Year-Old Ride the Subway Alone. Here it is. A mom wrote this. She says, I left my 9-year-old at Bloomingdale's a couple weeks ago. Last seen, he was in a first-floor handbags as I sashayed out the door. Bye-bye, have fun, and he did. He came home on a subway and the bus by himself. Was I worried? Yes, a tinge. But it didn't strike me as that daring either. Isn't New York as safe as safe now as it was in 1963? It's not like we're living in downtown Baghdad. Anyway, for weeks, my boy had been begging for me to please leave him somewhere, anywhere, and let him try to figure out how to get home on his own. So on that sunny Sunday, I gave him a subway map, a Metro card, a $20 bill, and several quarters just in case he had to make a call. No, I did not give him a cell phone. I didn't want him to lose it. And no, I didn't trail him like a mommy private eye. I trusted him to figure out that he should take the Lexington Avenue subway down and the 34th Street crosstown bus home. If he couldn't do that, I trusted him to ask a stranger. And then I even trusted that stranger not to think, gee, I was about ready to catch my train home, but now I think I'll abduct this adorable young child. Long story short, my son got home, ecstatic, with independence. As you can imagine, this story inspired a lot of backlash, and it inspired a lot of support. This was a mom's pushback to the helicoptering parent age of the 90s and early 2000s. We hovered over our kids in every move. We found out when a cell phone became readily available to all our families, it was the best umbilical cord to track my kid wherever he was. It's a pushback of taking away the independence from our children. And this mom went, and now she has this new concept. It's called free-range kids. It's not so new anymore. You can go out to freerangekids.com and learn all about how to make sure your child is independent. And that's, you know, whether you're on one side of that story or not, what's important to me is there has been a movement through time, actually over centuries, towards independence. And so let's look at our first note together. There's a problem about independence. And the problem with independence is that we continue to move away from community. The problem with independence is that we continue to move away from community. And let me use these boxes to kind of explain. Let's go back to New Testament times. Not that it was great, but there was something very different in New Testament times than there was than there is today. A big shift. When we talk about independence, in the time that Jesus walked the earth, my identity and my reliance came out of community. Let me move that back just a little bit. I was the least common denominator in society. Me, I'm way down on the bottom. In the time of Jesus, I was the least important in community. Family was more important to me. As a matter of fact, every time you see a reference in the Bible, I am the son of, I am the daughter of, I was always described by my family. And then above me, of course, especially in Israel, tribe was really important, the 12 tribes of Israel. You would not only identify as family, you would identify as my tribe. And my community is more important than me. And then above that, we were Israelites. We were a nation, God's chosen people. That community was more important even than tribe. And most of all, God was right at the top. Theocracy ruled the world. Faith was how we set laws. And God was the umbrella over all of community. Okay? Now, how does this look today? This is how it looks today. Today, we see, especially in our culture, in our nation, we see a rapid movement away from God. In Gen Z, we will expect that over 60% of Gen Z, the people who are just coming into college right now, will have no relationship on a faith-based standpoint. Nation, we're at one of the most divisive times, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or whatever. We're at one of the most divisive times. I've lost trust. This is all an issue of trust. You're going to see this embedded all the way through. I've lost trust in God. I lost trust in religion. When I think of church, I think of all the scandals in the world they're going on. I think of all the cover-ups. What religion has become. A far thing from what God's original design was. When I think of nation, all I think about how we can't get along. When I think of tribe, you know what's not important to me to be Kansan or Manhattan? Because we all move so much that tribe doesn't really carry as much weight as it used to. And family, we're at the highest rate of divorce. We're at the highest rate of fatherlessness, motherlessness. So I'm going to find my identity. I'm going to find truth. I'm going to find everything through my own experience because I can no longer trust all this. Decades ago, we predicted that we were heading towards utopian society, that we would only work 3 days a week through mechanization, industrialization, and all the medicines and penicillin and everything, that we would find utopian society. And what we defined? We found three of the world's worst wars. And all that utopian society, and all we're doing is working harder, and none of that reality is hit. So for Gen Z today, our kids coming through high school, going into college, if I'm going to find truth, it's through my experience because I've lost trust in everything else. Independence and individualism is the word that we would use today. Has caused this. Independence is so important to me to learn how to navigate life, how to get on the subway by myself. In 2019, this year, there's a study that loneliness has reached epidemic levels because of this independence. And who's at the highest end? 16 to 24-year-olds, Gen Z. They're becoming the most independent group we've ever seen in the history of our nation. More than half of Gen Zers felt lonely or often feel lonely more than any other generation. They feel like with technology, their world can all be right here. I don't need community. They say people around me are not really with them. No one really knows me well. They say loneliness today from a health standpoint will have the same mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's life expectancy, what happens in loneliness. So let's just all get on the bandwagon here and blame those Gen Zers. What do you say? All right, the oldest generation in here is the greatest generation, then the boomers. So let's actually start with you guys. The greatest generation of boomers, you're the first ones that moved us to the suburbs and got us out of community. So it started with you. Then there's Gen X, my group, right? We bought parachute pants with 9 pockets because look at me individually. Millennials, you started listening to John Mayer and it's like the world, I'm waiting on the world to change, right? You didn't need to be part of that. And so what did we create through decades? We created this for Gen Zers. Gen Zers, you can now drive to Dillon's. You can app, order your groceries, pull in. They'll bring them out to you. You never have to see community today. Guys, we've all done this. It started with our oldest generation. We've constructed what we've constructed today, and it's this. a movement towards independence, a movement away from community. I never have to engage my community. We all own it. So when we can't trust anything, and it takes us right into a trap. The problem with independence, where it is my mainstay, is it leads us up to a very specific lie in a very important part of our life. And here's this lie: I can find spirituality on my own. So the problem of independence leads to the lie that I can find spirituality on my own. I can find my beliefs through my own exploration. I can define God on my terms. I don't need a community like church to help me with that. In a buffet world of spirituality, I can pick and choose the God I like. I can choose the morality that fits me and doesn't rub anybody wrong. I can pick the Christianity that fits me. 75% of our nation still says I'm Christian, but it's a buffet Christianity, a faith that is safe, a God who doesn't shape me, a God who doesn't demand anything from me. I can do it on my own. The problem of independence with the lie of self-found and discovered spirituality, the movement away from community, sets us up for even a darker experience. And that is, there is an opponent. The enemy loves to isolate us. The best work of the enemy, the one who opposes God, is to isolate us from others. Every day, you know, most people in America would say atheism's still a pretty small group, but most people would say I'm spiritual. They would understand good and bad forces. And most people would say that there is a spiritual battle every day. And the enemy's strategy is, first I disconnect you, then I isolate you, and there I can disempower you. That's the enemy's strategy. Isolate by disconnecting, and there I can disempower. He lures us into independence, belief that there is a weak and easy God. He whispers in our ear all the time, it's okay, move further away. Move further away from family, you don't need them. Move further away from friends. Move further away from community. And just like a lion who waits till that one impala is out of the herd where it's not protected in group, the lion acts. He just tells you the grass is okay away from community, and the lion, the enemy, waits, and he attacks. He lures us into a dark, isolated place. Now, let me tell you what it looks like here today. Our soldiers find it when they come home, and they find this isolated place through PTSD. Our widows find it when they come home to an empty home. Our students find it through the stress of school and not fitting in. Our adults find it through workaholism and divorce. And we move into isolation. And in that dark place of independence and loneliness, our loneliness intensifies our problem. We are left thirsting for something better. And then we sink into depression. And we're at unprecedented rates of depression right now in our nation. We lose our self-value, and our identity is confused. And in that place, we have nobody to be accountable to. There's nobody grabbing us by the lapels, trying to shake us up. And in this dark place of isolation, the enemy changes his tone from come here to the accuser. Look what you did with your life. You're a failure, and nobody cares about you. And when you get to that depth, it gets worse. Because when we believe those lies, we seek escape. David Kinnaman is a writer for Barna Group who does a lot of statistics on faith and spirituality. And this quote came out just here recently. He said that escape is our primary drug of choice today. When I get to that dark, isolated spot, I look for quick ways to escape. We escape to alcohol. We escape to drugs. What's the new one today? Opiates is out of control. We escape to gaming. We escape to movie binging. We escape to porn. And when that's not doing it for us, we try to find a community. We try to find a community then in our independence, but usually these communities are not good communities. We go to a community that understands us. So I go to the bar and hang out with other people that are in that same dark, isolated place. I go to that rundown apartment house where there are drugs, and I hang out in a community that understands me. I go into internet chat because I can find a community that understands me. And you want to know the most definitive escape, which is at epidemic levels two in our nation, is suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, without the encouragement of truthful voices, without support and community, the enemy whispers, you are the victim, you're being taken advantage of, nobody loves you. Being me can be the loneliest and most devastating place on earth. I know what you're thinking, Brian, this sermon's really weighing me down, right? But it gets good from this point on. Because God knows the power of isolation. God knows the strategy of the enemy. The first sin of the world with Adam and Eve moved us into isolation from God. And God did not leave us there. He sent his son Jesus to earth to bring light to our isolated darkness, to disempower the sin that had a hold of us, and bring us back into community. Jesus came that we could have our life back. And have it to the full. Jesus came saying, upon this rock I will build my church, his church, and all the powers of hell, all the darkness that we've been in, all the isolation, all the lies will not prevail. That is not a defensive stance of a church, that is an offensive stance, that the church will prevail over the darkness. So we've dealt with the problem, the lie, and the opponent. Let's talk about the truth. And the truth is this: church is where we are greater than me. Church is where we are greater than me. Why is we greater than me? Church, we've always talked about this, and I love beating this drum, and it never gets old. We are not a building. We are not an hour on Sunday. We are a people. That is the definition of church. The church is a place not of independence, but of interdependence. You know what interdependence is? Interdependence is a place where I can be me in all my unique gifting and all my talents and all my abilities, but the people around me make me stronger and better. Interdependence is where I rely on God to bring the best out of me, which is what we call holiness, and those around me. And I do it in community. Interdependence is where I can grow through others, all this gifting around us, and I can be accountable in this group, and I can hear the truth in this group, and I can get away from the lies. Community of church and interdependence is where unity is not uniformity, and diversity is not division. The Christian basis for community, the reconciling love of God that is present here, transcends all differences in each one of us, whether it's nationality, race, class, age, or gender. But caution, church. Caution for us that many churches offer more entertainment than worship, more uniformity than diversity, more exclusivity than outreach, and more law than grace. And we don't want to be that, right? This is unusual for me, but now we're ready for Scripture. We had to build this story, but let me show you three important Scriptures. The first one is in Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. It reminds us the importance of community and interdependence. Romans 12, 4 through 5, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Christ's body in this description is clearly the church. It's how it's described in many ways, but we are described as Christ's body, all different. We're all different here. We're all unique, and we have some issues. We have some really good in our independence. But it's our interdependence, belonging to each other, which makes us great. Because some of us are hands, some of us are noses, some of us are ears, but we all make up the body, and we all are reliant on each other to be whole. We are all unique, all belonging to each other as Christ's body. Let's go back, let's go to the next scripture verse, and that's Galatians 3, and this is our key verse today, 26 through 29. This gives us another good look at it too. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." What that means is church is diversity that comes together, unified in the same thing, and that is Christ is what makes us all on the same equal footing. This is describing this. Christ is what brings all of our differences and everything here together. So none of this is as important anymore. We'll keep this one on top. This is the one place where it's safe to be community, no matter what we bring to the table. This is the same place where we need each other to get better and to stay out of the isolation and the darkness. And he says there at the end, he says, "And now that we all belong together in Christ, we are the true children of Abraham." One of the first characters of the Bible that God said, "I will make all nations know me. Eternity will come through you, Abraham, and through the work that I will do through you, eventually through my son Christ." But it started with Abraham. So that's why we're heirs to all this, but it happens in community. And the promise is eternity with him. There are thousands in the city of Manhattan, there are millions in our nation, and there are billions in the world who live in isolation, largely because of independence. And so here's the challenge. The challenge is that we as a church must cross lines to increase community. We cannot stand on this hill, and we're on the largest hill in Manhattan. I think we're the highest church almost, and we can't stand on this hill and say, "Come here, come see us." We can't make the world out there who's isolated in darkness say, "You cross all the lines and just walk through these doors, and it'll be okay." That is not the design of church. Church goes across the lines, all the lines, and brings faith to the community. Church goes out into the darkness and the isolation, and it introduces people to the good news of Christ. We cross all the lines of diversity, and diversity is such a word in the Christian community that we don't like. It is a beautiful word. We cross the lines of socioeconomic difference and class. We cross the lines of ethnicity. We cross the lines of, where's the rest of my list? We cross the lines of those who are of a different gender. We cross the line of a transgender. We cross any line to get into the darkness, into the isolation, to bring the good news of Jesus. We cross the lines of different generations. When Gen Xers say, I have nothing to do with Gen Zers because I don't understand, that's just the biggest lie. We cross the lines of generation, and Christ is what we all have in common. We take our community into our community, into our state, our nation, our world. We do all that here. We have missionaries around the world bringing our community to those communities. And ladies and gentlemen, we have 50,000 people waiting out here, and most of them are in isolation and darkness, within 8 miles of us. Church is here on Sunday to inspire, and it's out there the rest of the week, crossing lines, bringing community into the world of lost and lonely people who are dying for community and believe in a lie of independence. Church has three things the world desperately needs. It has the good news of Jesus, it has community, and it has hope. And so let's finish with Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, which kind of wraps it all up for us. And this is a call out to the church. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's crossing lines. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Don't let ourselves slink into isolation, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The day of Jesus coming back for his community is near. It's nearer today than it was yesterday, and we need everybody in this community for that day. So let me leave you with a quote. We will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a time where we look at the issues we're struggling with and the things that are outside your plan and your desires. And Father, if there's people in this room right now that are suffering in this isolation, that you can be here on Sunday, Father, we know this, and be isolated. Father, for those that are hurting and here in isolation and darkness, that they reach out and the church knows who they are and that we can come beside them and we can bring them back into community. And Father, there is not a person in this room that does not know of at least one person that is in that kind of a place in our community. Our vision is be bold, love loud, engage deeply. Father, my prayer for our whole church, including myself, is today we're bold that we will cross lines into the darkness and we will bring our community of faith into the community out there. And we will engage people deeply, telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ, and then one day they will trust to come into this community and worship the one true God. So, Father, our gift and our offering to you is anything, our time, the things we need to give up, our finances, whatever it takes to move the mission of the church, because Jesus is coming back. And we want everybody into this community. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, my name's Art Matheny, and I'm the Associate Pastor of Discipleship and Connections at Westview Community Church. And we want to invite you as a church into this new fall season, into some of our what we call small groups. Our small groups are broken up into two different types. One of them is the connection hour, which meets between our two gathering times of worship on Sunday mornings. And another opportunity is on during the week at different times off campus, oftentimes, in homes or possibly at the church, and we call those life groups. Both of those are meant to be places where we can grow together in our faith. And if you're interested in growing, really desiring to continue to grow, God meets us in community. We don't grow alone. We need to be together in our growth. We need each other in that growth. And the Holy Spirit honors that, I believe. So if you're interested in growing up in Christ, I would encourage you to be part of one of the small groups that we're starting really soon here at Westview.
So yeah, listen to Pastor Art. These small groups all started up today. Everybody's just kind of getting settled in. Plenty of time for you to get into the connect hours here. That's community. Community is where we grow together, interdependent on each other, learn and study together, strengthen our faith together. Those start this week, but you're not behind at all. Come next week. There's life groups firing up throughout the week, but get into that community. That's for all of us. Every room in this church is full on Sunday, and there's houses filling up all around. We'd love to have you connected in community in one way or other. There is one announcement today that's really important on here that I want to bring up, so everybody pay close attention. It's the one on here that says save the date. During this series on church, we are preparing for the fifth Sunday this month to really celebrate who we are as a church, and we're going to celebrate it right in the middle of our community. We're only going to have one service on September 29th, and it's not going to be here. We're going to be right in the park, in City Park, in the middle of our community. We're going to be there at the band shell in the pavilion, and we're going to celebrate the last sermon of this series together. So mark your calendars. That service is on 10 a.m. If you come here, you'll be worshiping maybe alone. So we want you to come to this one at 10 a.m. in City Park. We're going to have food, a big cookout. We're going to be doing all this kind of fun stuff as community and finishing up the sermon series on We Are the Church. I can't think of a better way. So you guys got that one down? Write that down. Don't come here. Come there, and we'll have a great Sunday there. Baptism, those classes are also coming up here the week before the Save the Date, the 22nd. There'll be adult baptism classes and things going on here. If you are at that point where it's like, I've never made that public profession of who I am. And baptism's just been edging at me. Come to the class on September 22nd, and there's also a kids' date. It's a special class, too. But get involved with that. Learn about what that is. And we're going to have baptism also, a ceremony on the 29th. And so that's a lot of exciting stuff. Would you please stand with me? You're going to love that celebration. I know today was a little heavy, but that's okay, because when you're dealing with lies, you got to take them straight on. But I want to leave you with this one quote. Oh, first off, guests, thank you for being here with us today. Just as a reminder, drop that off. I'd love to connect with you, or drop that off at our welcome center. There's a gift there for you, but we'd love to touch base with you. I want to leave you with a quote from William Tyndale. He lived a long time ago. You know, the cool thing about William Tyndale, there's a lot of cool things about him, but William Tyndale was the one that translated the Bible into English. So we're all thankful for him, right? And this was a quote he said. He said, "The church is the one institution that exists for those outside of it." And that is us. We are to take our community into our community. So go, be bold. Go out into the darkness. Bring the light of community of faith to the rest of our city, our nation, and our world. Go get them. We'll see you next Sunday. We're going to talk about another topic about church. Have a great week.